There were many people in various churches who, like the Harmon family, were waiting for the personal appearing of Christ. Many of them also were threatened with expulsion from their congregations, and in some cases this brought about the desired effect. The favor of God was sold for a place in the church.
We survived the separation from our home church, and with carefulness and trembling, we approached the time when our Savior was to appear. In spite of the opposition by ministers and churches, we continued to hold simple meetings. By the spring of 1843, the expectancy of the believers had reached a high point. Although the exact date of Jesus' coming was not known, Father Miller, as he was called, was convinced that the Advent would occur sometime between March 21, 1843 and March 21, 1844. But others were more anxious to indicate a specific day.
As I see it, our Lord will make his appearance on the 10th of February, 1843.
Ha! What gives you that idea?
Because that's the day the French seized Rome way back in 1798. That's why.
That's plumb silly, Ebner. Everybody knows that April 14th is the day of his coming, because that's the anniversary of the crucifixion. See? The 70 weeks ended at the time of Christ's death, so the 2300 days have to be the same.
But each of the specified days passed, and nothing at all happened. Hopes were then transferred to later dates, and as these also passed by, some people became discouraged and gave up hope in the soon coming of Jesus. But most continued to believe. Camp meetings flourished, with leaders such as Charles Fitch and Joshua Hines attracting thousands of people to their lectures under the great tent. In our state of Maine, lesser-known preachers were also having great success. Such a one was young James White, who converted 1,000 persons in just 6 weeks. The Advent doctrine was expanding beyond all expectations.
It's amazing. People are crowding into the meeting halls to hear Advent lectures. When the seats are filled, they stand in the aisles, jammed shoulder to shoulder.
I read an article in the Signs of the Times that in Boston they have built a huge tabernacle that will seat at least 3,500 people.
I have a copy of the Midnight Cry that says J.B. Cook and Elder Himes have taken the great tent as far west as Cincinnati and even down into Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing the word to thousands.
Yes, wife, the word is spreading like wildfire. The time is indeed near.
The heat of the summer of 1843 crushed down on us. In Cleveland, Ohio, Elder Charles Fitch preached a powerful sermon from Revelation 18. Babylon the Great has fallen. Come out of her, my people. Elder Fitch daringly identified the entire Christian establishment as Babylon because of its general opposition to the doctrine of Christ's soon coming. Even the conservative Joshua Hines became a reluctant advocate of separation. Obviously, these actions spurred immediate and bitter retaliation from the organized churches.
Look over there, Eldora. Bunch of them Millerites are going to one of them meetings.
Fools is what they are. Just plain fools and heathens.
Hey, you Millerite! Where be your white ascension robes?
Yeah.
Were you addressing us, brother?
I'll just ask where your white ascension robes is at, that's all.
Our white robes are the purity of our souls, brother. What color is yours?
Well, I was just asking.
In spite of the disappointment of Jesus not coming in 1843... we waited in delicious expectation in 1844, although the exact date of his coming was still a mystery. Then, in August of 1844, A dramatic event happened in Exeter, New Hampshire, that gave us the light we long for. Joseph Bates, the ex-sea captain, was speaking at a tent meeting when a horseman rode up.
Brothers and sisters, I liken the Advent movement to a sturdy ship tossed on a stormy sea, blown a bit off course, perhaps, and delayed by contrary winds, but sure to reach safe harbor when our Lord comes to gather his storm-tossed sailors to his bosom. What's this? Oh, why, it's Brother Snow.
Elder Bates, do you know my brother, Samuel Snow?
Why, yes, I do, Mrs. Couch.
Well, Samuel has something important to say to this gathering. Now, we are all familiar with your message, as true as it is, but my brother has just arrived with new light to shed and new meat for the Lord's table. Will you let him speak?
Let Brother Snow speak to us.
Let's hear what he has to say.
Let's hear him.
Yes, yes.
I agree. Well, I want to hear what he has to say.
You are most welcome to the pulpit, Brother Snow. Come up and tell us your message.
Friends, I have just received new light, and I believe it to be a truth that the day we have waited for so long, the day that Christ will cleanse the sanctuary, will take place on the Jewish Day of Atonement, which will fall on October 22nd in this year of 1844.
Now, Brother Snow, how did you come to this conclusion?
Well, when Jesus came the first time, he was on time. He then declared the prophetic time was fulfilled. We all know about the prophecies in Daniel 8 and 9. So by the most careful reckoning of the Jewish scholars, the 10th day of the 7th month falls this year, on the 22nd of October.
Why, if you are correct, and I believe you are, we have less than 3 months to prepare for his coming.
Time was short. Only 10 weeks remained until the cleansing of the sanctuary. The midnight cry went from city to tiny village and onto the remotest country regions. The time is short. Be ready. Be ready.
I feel elated. But we have so much to do, so many of our brothers and sisters to make ready.
It breaks my heart, Father, that so many will not believe.
Oh, we must not give up, Ellen. We still have time to warn many.
Is this the shop of Robert Harmon, the hatter?
Yes, ma'am.
I have this fedora that needs mending. It's my husband's favorite hat. Can I leave it with you and pick it up next week?
I am sorry, ma'am, but this business is closed. For good.
Closed? I don't understand.
The Lord is coming, sister, in just a few short weeks. I have more important business.
Oh, one of those. Well, I'll just take my business elsewhere.
Yes, ma'am. I am indeed one of those.
Words cannot describe the activity that took place in the few weeks that preceded October 22nd, 1844. Crops were left unharvested in the fields, shops were closed, and workers resigned their positions. What need did people have of jobs or even food? Christ was coming in just a few more days. People needed to be warned. Sins needed to be confessed. Wrongs made right. Millerite tabernacles and the great tent had almost continuous day and night services. People gave away their most prized possessions.
Well, how do, Enoch? I seen you coming up the wagon way. What you doing leading that cow?
I come to give her to you, George.
Hmm?
You've been a good neighbor all these years, and I want you to have her.
Why, that there animal is worth a lot of money, and she's a real fine milker, too.
Won't need her anymore. The Lord is a-coming, George, and I won't need milk where I'm going.
As our expectations grew, so did the ridicule of our opponents. Ugly crowds forced cancellation of meetings in many cities. Gangs of profane men roamed the streets looking for Millerites. Yet, in spite of these things, 1844 was the happiest year of my life. My heart was full of glad anticipation. We felt great pity for those who would not believe, but we who were firm in the Advent doctrine needed each other, for scoffers and foul ruffians were everywhere. By early October, the streets of Portland were dangerous.
There goes a bunch of them. Come on, men, let's get them!
Come on, dear children, follow me through this alleyway. Hurry! All right. We're safer now. But we'd better not stay here. We can run home from here. Our house is just a block away. We'll be safe there.
Why do they act that way, Father? We have done nothing to hurt them.
It's because they're frightened. Yes, that's it.